Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to this Muharram special on devotion beyond comprehension. Yes, we're going to talk about the Ahl-e Bayt Athar, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to talk about their devotion beyond comprehension, their amazing sacrifices, their beautiful lives, and how Allah Azza wa Jal ordained that they would bless the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're going to talk about the early life of Hasanain Karimain, then the background to what happened before the plains of Karbala, what happened on the plains of Karbala, and then what happened afterwards. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before I start, and before I introduce my beautiful guest, I'm going to give you a blessing of Durood-e Pak. Imagine it's the Day of Judgment. The entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is on the plains of resurrection. And you get called out, singled out, and you're told you can come to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the center point of attention on the Day of Judgment, and you can shake hands with the best of creation. How amazing would you feel? How blessed would you feel in front of the whole of creation? Wow! You know, if some dignitary today shakes hands with us in front of our family and friends, we stand proud. The Day of Judgment, the entire creation there, and you shake hands with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. How amazing. Listen to this hadith in Mubarak. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment.
Subhanallah.
How long does it take to recite Durood as Salam 50 times? Maybe a couple of minutes. Make it a habit and reap the rewards. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, like I said, we're going to be discussing the amazing life of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in the studio, alhamdulillah, we've got our brother Bilal Bhai from Halifax. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bilal Bhai, jazakallah for coming. Thank you. I know I mentioned it late.
Mashallah.
No, I know sometimes because when you have people ask late, you've always got schedules and everything, especially you're a busy man. Mashallah. But no, jazakallah for taking the time and joining us on this special night. Because mashallah. Viewers of Madni Channel, this is the night of the 9th of Muharram.
Mashallah.
And if we go all the way back, this was the night when the Yazidi army and the leaders and the commanders said to Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala, come to the battlefield, we're going to fight. And Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala said, give me one more night. It wasn't to spend time with his family. It wasn't to get his finances in order. It wasn't to see what property he has. It wasn't for anything else. But you know why? He said, so I can worship my Lord for one more night.
Allah.
This is the amazing personality that we're going to be talking about. And inshallah, Zawajal, Ubaid is going to be joining us as well. I think he's taking a leap from his father's book because Hafiz Sahib always comes in at the last moment. So Ubaid still isn't here. We're expecting him any minute now. He's going to join us as well. And he's going to be reciting some kalams for us. And we have some special guests for you. So we're going to start off with the beautiful life of the grandsons of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Bilal Bhai, we all know that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first and beloved wife was Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. This was one of the greatest women to walk on the safe surface of the earth. And they had four daughters. And the youngest of those daughters was Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she was the most beloved to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, at that time, Bilal Bhai, this was the era where people were burying their daughters alive. Yeah. And yet Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the world how to treat daughters.
And it's a massive lesson for us, Arun, by that if the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show so much affection, so much love towards a daughter, then who are we?
Allah.
So this is a very massive lesson for us that we should take from the blessed life of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter what we have, just do shukr and alhamdulillah, and then embrace them with love as well.
Yes.
And this is a very important lesson that we can also learn. And about the beautiful grandsons of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, after obviously the daughter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such, you know, he showed tremendous love towards them. They would call them princes. So just imagine calling someone a prince. You're giving them so much affection, you're giving them so much love. And at times, obviously, they would say to their daughter, bring my children to me, so I can smell them and embrace them.
So, I'm going to come on to the Hasanain Kareemain in a few months. What I wanted to do for the viewers of Madni Channel, Bilal Bhai, is kind of take it bit by... So Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha was the daughter, the youngest daughter of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But her character... As a person before Hasanain Kareemain came into this world, before she got married, what was she like?
I mean, she was very obedient, mashallah, with being the daughter of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine the upbringing that she was given. And whatever she came through her life, she would always ask the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would embrace it wholeheartedly with a smile. And then whatever teachings that she could get from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she would carry in her ways. Because at times, you know, we're selfish people. We try to keep things to ourselves. But the beautiful life of Sayyidatina Fatima Zahra, radiallahu ta'ala anha, for the sisters as well, is to learn that whatever we learn, whatever we come across, it's very important that we pass the teachings on to others and invite people towards righteousness.
And she was the model.
She was the model.
Haya for modesty, yes. An example for our daughters, our sisters, our mothers. That, you know, being the daughter of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet she was so simple, so humble. And, you know, she kept her, I mean, even when the scholars write that when she passed away, her will said that if you take my janazah at night, I think it was, so that non-mahram's nazar can't even fall on my janazah, never mind me. This is how amazing she was. So there's a great lesson in there. But what I wanted to kind of ask you as well, you know, today, Bilal Bhai, if somebody spends a little bit of time with a great scholar, and he becomes reformed, and we say, look, you know, how has it happened? And you say, he spent so much time with this amazing scholar. And we think, wow, what a privilege. I mean, Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha had the company of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't get better, definitely. And I mean, words can't comprehend how the upbringing would have been, sitting down with the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to the beautiful words, seeing the face of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can't really imagine how that would have been. But as you mentioned there, Azu, that mashallah, she was a very beautiful character. You know, she possessed immense, you know, she had a beautiful character the way that she was. And at times, if you put that into perspective nowadays, that whenever we have, you know, the looks or the, you know, the beautiful grandeur, do we take that as Sayyidina Fatima Zahra did?
Assalamu alaikum, Abid Bhai, nice of you to join us. Allah Ta'ala bless you. We're talking about, you see, what I wanted to do today is kind of bring it all together, everything we've been discussing. And so Bilal Bhai and I have been talking about the amazing Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, her piety, her taqwa, her upbringing, and her kind of passion for worship, because these were the qualities that were instilled into Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, the other side to that was that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to marry the daughter, and this was the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jal, this was the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that, you know, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was selected. Now, I want you to tell the viewers of Madni Channel a little bit about this personality, Hazrat Ali, you know, his character, who was he?
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, first of all, who was he? He was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he was also the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in itself is, mashallah, is a very, very big thing. The son-in-law of the greatest of creation sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Sayyidina Ali without bounds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is quoted to say that Ali is my brother in this world and is my brother in the hereafter as well. Allah, mashallah, just shows how great the maqam and martaba of Sayyidina Imam Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is. He was a very, very, very brave warrior of Islam, and he is known for his bravery and his his achievements in the battlefield. And it's very, very well-known fact that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Badr and in the battle of Uhud, he was the one who, out of all the Muslims, he was the one who killed the most kuffar in them battles. And it's very, very famous narration of Sayyidina Ali, just to put into perspective how strong he was, how courageous and how much of a warrior he was. When the door of Khaybar, very, very famous story, the door of Khaybar, it took 40 men, Arumbai, and they tried to lift it, and 40 men together could not lift that door. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who came on his own, and he lifted the door with ease.
Subhanallah.
And that in itself just shows how much of a great warrior he was. And then of course, if you look at his children, that obviously translated into them as
Subhanallah.
Well.
So now, Bilal Bhai, what we've got here is, you know, one of the most amazing ladies of the world, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, who the very definition of piety and taqwa. And then you've got Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who is the most courageous, and he's also described as the door to the city of knowledge by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's wise, he's got amazing intellect, he's got amazing courage, unbelievable bravery, and these two great personalities come together in nikah, and then Allah Azza wa Jal blesses them with Hazrat Hassan and Mujtaba, and then 11 months later Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala. Now coming to the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, just imagine, you know, your father is Ali Murtaza,
Allah.
Your mother is Fatima Zahra, and you're growing up in the shadow of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, you know, parvarish and hand mubarak and your guidance mubarak. I mean, it can't get any better than that. And therefore, the character of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala must have been magnificent, Bilal Bhai.
Definitely, and obviously, nowadays, Azrivala, whenever we mention the household, we mention the youngsters or any part of the family, they always be ashamed what they see in the household. And just imagine the household where we've got the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've got the courageous warrior as Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the beautiful character of Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra. So just imagine those little kids looking at the family and whatever they can get from every person. Alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, you know, you can look at their life. So just imagine the early years of their life. How would that have been, that more beautiful, the best parvish that they could have? And then to complete them, obviously, once they were up to the age, then it's just beyond imaginable how their parvish would have been, and their mindset as well from a very young age. Because at times when we try to instill something in somebody's mind from a very young age, it's very hard. But they saw that. I mean, even when they were probably in the stomach of their mother, they probably would hear these things. And just imagine picking these things up.
Allah,
and once they are brought to this beautiful world, how would that have been for that?
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes the entire world and the entire universe of Bilal Bhai, you know, wants to be close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was one riwayat where Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam have got their chadr mubarak, kambli mubarak, and one of the companions says that I felt there was something under it. So I'm thinking, what is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hiding?
Allah.
And then when after a short time, Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed that Hasanain Kareemain are hiding in the kambli mubarak. I mean, wow! You know, the entire world is envious of these princes. Yeah, I want you to tell the viewers of Madni Channel about the things that Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say and do to these personalities. Jibir,
you know, let's take it back a minute. When Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were born, These names, Hassan and Hussein, they were never ever heard of before.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
You know, when they were born, Imam Hassan was born in the 3rd of Hijri in Ramzan. And there's a waqia where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the birth of Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've had a son and I want to name him Harbun. Harbun means warrior. Sayyidina Ali himself was a great warrior.
Allah.
And he wanted to name his own children warrior, fighter, Harbun. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Ali, don't name him that. Name him Hassan. Hassan meaning beautiful.
Allah.
And then 11 months later, in the 40th of Hijrah in Sha'ban, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he blessed this world. And again Sayyidina Ali, he went to the Rasulullah, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've had another son, I want to name him Harbun. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, don't name him that, name him Hussein. Just to finish off, it says that, you know, whenever a child is born, you know, we give him something sweet, don't we? We do the akika. And, you know, in the time, at that time in Medina Munawwara, you know, there was the ajwa, there was all sorts of different sweets, there was all sorts of different kujur that they could give them. But at that time, the sweetest thing that they could find to give to these children, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, was the blessed saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, there's I don't know if it's, you know, a superstition or an old wives' tale or something, but it says that whoever gives these sweets to the children will end up and they will follow in that person's footsteps. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving their own saliva to them, mashallah, that we can see from that that they were going to follow in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the head to the navel, he looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hussein, from the navel to the blessed feet, he was looking like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together, when you put them together,
Allah,
you get the beautiful and amazing image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This is amazing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because you know, there's many books and many scholars who say, Bilal Bhai, that, you know, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody wanted to see, you look at Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and also Hazrat Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. He resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people used to come to just look at these beautiful princes. I mean, the world was, you know, mesmerized by their beauty because they looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, Hassan and Hussein are my two flowers of this world. Whoever loves them loves me, and whoever hates them hates me. You know, and then there was the famous Haditha Mubarakah in relation to them being the leaders.
Leader of the youth of paradise.
Youth of paradise. And yesterday you told us about, you know, the waqia that when they wrote some slates. And so it wasn't just Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Jibreel Amin were also there.
They couldn't even, you know, choose between them two.
Allah,
and obviously
Allah.
From Ubayd Bhai, I think another thing that we learn, especially for the viewers of Madini channel, Harun Bhai, is the names that we choose for our children as well. So at times it's very important that if we have a son or daughter which is born, we need to know what the name, the meaning is. Nowadays, what's happening in society, we're looking for famous actresses, mazallah, actors, all the role models that they would say, and we name them after them. But we don't really know what the true meaning is. And obviously, as Ubayd Bhai mentioned, with the meanings of Hussein and Hassan, Alhamdulillah, azawajal, you know, the personalities that they grew up together. And whatever name that we give as well, Bazafa, if we have a look at it realistically, I don't know if this is a superstition or something, it's kiku hakikat hai, that whatever name that you give a child, they possess that meaning of that character as well.
The Amir al-Sunnah Dan Barakatmul Aliyah has a pamphlet or a booklet on it, and they give, you know, how to choose the name and the beauty of keeping the name Muhammad in there. Ala Hazrat did that as well. And you should always, you know, name your children in a certain way, and the names have a big impact as well. And these days, I've seen what you've said, it's a very good point, because a lot of people, what they do is they keep names from based upon the social media and everything else. And these are names of kind of actors, etc., footballers, and it's pretty sickening, especially for Muslims. I came across one case where a daughter was named after a certain Greek princess, and it was horrific because it was the name translated to adulteress. But our Muslim parents hadn't thought about it. So this is why it's very, very important that we have proper names. And we should, you know, when it's the boys, we should have names that start with Muhammad, Muhammad Raza, Muhammad Mustafa. I met a brother today, actually, at a janaza, and I said to him, what's your name? And he said, I was actually doing the ghusl, and he said, Mustafa, and, you know, this is my granddad. And I thought, what a beautiful name. I thought, may Allah forgive his granddad for the sake of the beauty of the name of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you know, these all have their impact. So coming back to the things, the glorious Quran. So we've got the family of Aka Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in the glorious Quran, the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of the family of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of the Ahlul Bayt Athar isn't just something which has been passed down from generations, isn't just something that our pious predecessors have told us, isn't something that maybe is mentioned in some hadith of Mubarakah, but it's in the glorious Quran as well, isn't it?
MashaAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the glorious Quran about the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And Allah Hazrat writes in his translation for this ayah that Allah wills only to remove every impurity from you, O people of the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and make you abundantly pure by cleansing you. Now in the tafsir of this ayah, the Mufassirin, they write that this ayah, some of them write that it's about the Punch the Buck, the beautiful household of the Prophet ﷺ, and others write that, you know, it's including the wives of the Prophet ﷺ as well. And a few commentaries I'll share with you what they say. Imam Tabari rahmatullahi alayhi, he states that, O family of Muhammad ﷺ, Allah Almighty wills to distance evil matters and indecency from you, and to purify you from the impurity of sins. And Allama Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his tafsir, he says that this blessed verse is the spring of the virtues of the Ahlul Bayt radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we learn that they were purified from all blameworthy traits and qualities. It is narrated in some hadith that the Ahlul Bayt radiallahu ta'ala anhum have been made haram upon the fire of hell, and this is the benefit and result of this purification. And the things that are not worthy of their noble conduct, their Lord protects them from such things.
SubhanAllah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself protects them from these beautiful things.
SubhanAllah. And beloved, listening to what Ubayd Bhai is saying though, you know, it was Aka Kareem Sallallahu, understanding the great status of Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is difficult. But you know, sometimes you might think, why? But the environment we've described, you know, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but not only that environment, not Jibreel Amin visiting them, but Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is saying, I have purified these souls. I mean, they are on the highest level of purity, taqwa, and you know, at the highest level a humans can get to, apart from the prophets. I mean, you know, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm purified them. Can we even imagine the great status of these people?
No, to be honest, we can't. And then obviously showing love for these particular individuals, it gives us the pathway. And on that pathway, we are going to be leading to Jannat al-Firdaus. And it's a very important lesson for us as well as Muslims, that if we want to be on the right path, we should follow the footsteps of these Ahlul Bayt. We should show love towards these beautiful characters. Because if it wasn't because of them, we wouldn't be here. And this should be a massive lesson for us, that whenever we go in walks of life, that we should follow the footsteps of these beautiful personalities and make sure that this is something that's embedded in us as well.
And you mentioned Jannah, but I mean, even when it comes to Jannah, who is the leader of the women of Jannah?
Allah.
Sayyida Fatima.
Who is the leader of the youth of Jannah?
SubhanAllah.
Asnan Kareeman. So Jannah is theirs as well. I mean, and this is not us saying this out of love and affection. This is the best of creation saying it. And then what does the Quran say? The Quran says that, you know, the Quran commands us to love them. You know, Surah, part 25, Surah Ashura, Allah Azza wa Jal says, say, O beloved, I do not ask any recompense from you for this propagation of religion. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took us out of the darkness, brought the world into light. Yeah? The entire world has benefited from the mercy of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today you have 2.2 billion Muslims, Allah, you know, with the light of Iman. Yeah? Now, Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't want anything from you for taking you out from the darkness and the filth and bringing you into the beauty and the light of Islam. Accept your love for my near relatives.
SubhanAllah. And then going forward, the noble Sahaba, Harun Bhai, asked the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that who are those close family members of yours who love is wajib upon us? And then he replied that Ali al-Murtada, Fatima al-Zahra, and both of their sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu
anhu. Wajib, I mean, do you know, Abed, do you want to explain to the viewers of Madhyana, what does wajib mean, you know?
The literal meaning for wajib is compulsory. That,
yes.
You know, if they don't do it, it's sinful.
It's part of our iman. And you know, it's not just so, it's not just Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we want our viewers to understand. It's not just Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It's not just Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. It's not just their sons. But Allah Hazrat beautifully encapsulates it. Teri nasle paak mein hai bachcha bachcha noor ka. Tu hai aine noor, tera sab gharana noor ka. Ki, you know, you, Rasulullah sallam, noor, but it doesn't just stop there. Your children are noor, their children, and your entire progeny is full of the light of noor, of, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal's blessings. This is how amazing it is. And this is what shone through in the character of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, amazing it is, because to understand what happened on the plains of Karbala, Bilal Bey, it's very important to understand who this prince was. And he was truly a prince. I mean, you know, at the time, Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala was growing up, he used to, there was a trust that Hazrat Ali created. And in the nights, Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala used to carry the crops, the food, the grains on his back, and go and deliver them to the poor at night. This was Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu anhu. The great Imam was the one who would stay up at night reading Nawafil. He was that intellectual that the Sahaba Ikram used to ask him for his advice and used to take mashra and discuss things with him. I mean, you know, as he grew up, you could see that he had those perfect qualities that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had blessed the grandsons with.
Again, Harun Bhai, that is purely, you know, the suhbat of the greatest of creation. It can do wonders to a person. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the alan of prophethood on the Monday. I accepted Islam on Tuesday.
Allah.
And you know, from the beginning, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the first child to accept Islam. And from the beginning, he grew up around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's no wonder that he has these amazing, beautiful qualities about him and his family.
SubhanAllah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Bilal Bhai, is one amazing personality. I mean, we could do a full series on just Hazrat Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu, I'm sure there is. But he had started from that young age, the point you made, and all the way through he'd been in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the moment he was martyred. And this was the unfortunate thing. You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to give the people the keys to Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to take the people out of darkness and into light. And these companions, these people, were all part of that journey that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, they helped Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Sayyidina Usman Ghani was martyred reading the Quran. And one of the greatest princes to set foot on the earth, Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala is martyred. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was martyred. Unfortunately, you know, this path was very difficult. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. You're going to be tested. And these people were tested. The Muslim Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all the prophets were tested, but none like me. I was tested the most. SubhanAllah.
Harun Bhai, obviously, just a point, just pondered over my thought there, that you can become a leader, but you have to be a complete leader. And if you look at Imam Hussein, the spirituality inside them, there's a vaqia in that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, was not only a leader in the political sense, but he was also a spiritual guide. He emphasized the importance of upholding moral integrity, and then he was staying true to Islamic principles as well. So that's very important that whenever nowadays that we have that inside us, that spirituality, that, hang on a minute, is it morally right? And is this according to the Islamic teachings? And even in the face of adversity, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and would focus on justice, dignity, and the importance of resisting oppression. And there's a beautiful waqia that once an individual complained of his poverty to the grandson of the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the Imam said to him, "Sit down for a while. My allowance will be brought to me. As soon as it's brought here, we will wish you farewell." And then after a short while, five sacks containing 1,000 dinars, they were sent from Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, and they had arrived. And the individual who brought them said that Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala has apologized, that this is only a little amount of money, please accept it. Oh, and then Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and he gave all of the amount to the individual who complained of his poverty and apologized for making him wait. So this is the beautiful character of the grandson of the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that in essence, they could have kept that, but they gave it to the person that came to their doorstep.
And you know, this is what you almost like mind reading, because the next section was exactly what you've done. I wanted to talk about the character of Imam Ali Maqam, because what we've done, and I hope the viewers of Madni Channel are following us, is we've set this scene because we wanted to show you who Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was. So he's the grandson of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Hazrat Ali, the son of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. The upbringing he's had is brilliant, but now where does he get to? He gets to this character that Bilal Brahi is describing, which is truly amazing. 25 Hajj on foot, perfect manners, generosity like Bilal Bhai has just told us, sincerity in worship, that he, when he worships, he forgets everything, courage and bravery like nobody had ever seen. He holds study circles in Masjid Nabawi Sharif, he teaches the deen, and while others sleep, he's serving the poor in the city of Medina. I mean, what can you say about the amazing character of Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala?
You know, the amazing maqam of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, you know, only one thing comes to mind, you know, where did he get this character from?
Allah.
If we look at his blessed father, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, it's a long story, but there was no money at home. And, you know, they needed money to go and buy groceries. And Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and she got her own clothes off her back. And she gave it to Sayyidina Ali and she said, "Take my clothes, go sell it. And then the money we can buy our food with that." Sayyidina Ali, he took the clothes, he sold it, and he got six dinar from it. And on the way home, a beggar came to him and he said that, "Would you give this money in the way of Allah to this poor beggar?" And all six of those coins he gave them to that beggar. And then down the line, Sayyidina Ali, he met a person selling a camel. And he said that, you know, Sayyidina Ali said, "Look, I don't have any money." And he said, "Okay, take it on credit. Pay me back when you get money." And Sayyidina Ali said, "Okay." He took the camel, he went further down and he sold it. And that person actually gave him 60 gold coins in return. And then he came back, he paid the person that he gave, and the money he had left, he came back to his wife, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, "That here, this is the money from the clothes." And she was surprised. She's like, "My clothes aren't worth that much. Where did you get this money from?" And Sayyidina Ali, he told her the story, and the next day he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ali, you know those people, the beggar, the person who you bought the camel of, the person who you sold the camel to, all three of them were angels sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal was so pleased at you giving those six coins away that he blessed you in this way." Salaam. And it's only, you know, it's only in the nature that if Sayyidina Ali was like that, his blessed children obviously are going to follow.
SubhanAllah. Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what the biography says, he would love to pray. So we got an opportunity. Today we run away from Nafl. He used to read, Hazrat Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu said, "My father would read 1,000 units of Nafl prayer a night."
Allah.
With all his busy schedule. He would fast abundantly. He would give charity. And wherever there was an opportunity, he would jump at doing the good work. And this is the Madni mindset that Amir al-Sunnah sometimes tries to give. Nekiyun ke haris, when I try and look for good deeds. And it comes from the feet of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, you know, whenever he got an opportunity, he thought, there's an opportunity to do a good deed there. He would be the first to be there. Today, when we get an opportunity to do bad, we're always there. But good, we're not. So, but we're now we've kind of set the scene for our viewers. Viewers of Madni Channel, you now realize how magnificent this prince of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So I want you to understand that there was a history. There was certain events that took place that forced Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu to travel in the hot Arabian Peninsula with his children into a desert. Why did he do that? Such an intelligent man, such a beloved man, such a great, great person and personality, who's the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of the Lion of Allah azza wa jal. Why did he do this? Why did he do this? And people were saying to him, don't do it. But he didn't listen to anybody. But what was Yazid like? Tell the viewers of Madhi Channel a bit about him.
Yazid was, like you said, he was the son of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahabi and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yazid himself, although he was the son of a Sahabi, his actions and his character was far from that of his father. You know, as Yazid, the things he stood for were, ma'azallah, you know, drinking alcohol. He used to gamble a lot. He was a person who wanted to make halal haram and haram halal. As a person, Yazid himself, he was a very, very wretched and a very, very, you know, filthy individual.
Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. In the hearts of the people, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu should be the Amir. But then they don't accept Yazid. Why wouldn't they accept Yazid? What's wrong with it? I mean, why is it? Does it have to be Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala? What was the problem? What was stopping them?
There were many sides of him as being evil. To believe in somebody, you need to have 100% complete faith. I think at that time, there was something missing. There
was people knew
that the reason the jigsaw was missing. Yeah. And for them to have complete belief in Yazid, I think that was the thing.
And I think the Ummah knew, not only was he evil, he was a drunkard, he had bad habits, and he was diluting Islam, but moreover, they knew that if the leader is corrupt in this way, then what sort of impact is it going to have on the Ummah, which now spreads from the borders of Spain through to the borders of China? It's going to completely collapse on itself. And it was that which was people are fearing. Now, what Yazid does is he realizes that the people don't want him. So Yazid then tries to get an oath of allegiance from Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu to justify his leadership. Yeah. So we discussed this yesterday. So he asks Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu to swear an oath of allegiance. The great Imam doesn't. Why doesn't he swear an oath of allegiance?
Because again, it comes down to, you know, the great character and the great personality that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. He was a grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, many people thought he was the worthy one. And if he went along and he gave the oath of allegiance to Yazid, that would send the message out to the rest of the ummah that look, he's fine, go give birth to Yazid, and everyone else would do the same. So Imam Hussein, from a moral standpoint, he couldn't take that step, because that would mean that by his own action, the rest of the ummah would become corrupt and fall into Yazid as well. So Bilalbi, he couldn't do that.
Yeah, so Bilalbi, the point that Ubaid Bey makes is a very good one. If Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala accepts Yazid, what happens next?
So then, like you mentioned, the amount of people that were within that bubble, they would become deviants, as bad as it would say. And they would both become corrupted. And to get the people out of that corruption and deviation, it would have been a massive catastrophe, as they would say. So that's why Imam Hussein at that time, they looked at the bigger picture. They said, this is something that we need to say no to, because this has a knock-on effect on the entire ummah.
So was Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu fighting to preserve Islam?
Gee.
No, but some people say, and you get a lot of people out there who think they're very clever, and they say, no, this was a battle between, as did they say now, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son, Yazid, and the son of Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was a battle between two princes. It was about who is going to lead the Muslims. It had nothing further to do than that. Is that looking at everything too superficially?
Not really, Harun Bhai. For example, if you put it into perspective, if they just wanted to become a leader, what they could have done, an easy way out, let's join allegiance. Let's become involved into the system and then I'll work my way on top. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have sacrificed their life. They wouldn't have, you know, took their family with them. Mm-hmm. So a person that wants that rutbah or maqam, position, would they sacrifice their life?
And Yazid would have probably offered them.
Yes.
He did offer them as well. He offered them position. He said, you know, if you accept me, I'll give you so and so. Imam Hussein, he still said, yeah. No, it don't matter what you gave, what you're doing is wrong and I'm going to stop you.
And that mindset, Harun Bhai, shows that this was to preserve Islam. It wasn't for an individual to be given that position. Because nowadays, the waswasa of the shaitan, these are the whispers that we hear. For position, we do everything. But at that time, our Imam Hussein, you know, said, no, this is to preserve Islam. And if so be it, let's stand and go to the plains of Karbala.
I'm just going to sum up basically what we were discussing, because what we've established, Bilal Bhai, is this, that Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was very pious. Yazid was very wicked. Yazid came onto the takht and he wanted people to accept his ways. But if people had accepted and those ways, it would have corrupted everything. Now, the difficulty that we see is that Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala, although the people's hearts are with him, he doesn't have backing.
No.
So, in that sort of situation, what does he do? Why doesn't he think, well, look, I can't do anything about this. I haven't got the manpower. What can I do to try and stop Yazid? Okay, I won't swear an oath of allegiance, but I'll sit at home. Why doesn't he sit at home?
By sitting at home, Harun Bhai, you don't really achieve anything. They will be like, okay, he's a person that he was saying so and so, but he never came to the, you know, to the pulpit. And then for them to say no and come to the pulpit and, you know, they made an example. And then looking at that, it showed the courage to the people.
This is the son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. This is the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How could he sit by and allow a despicable Yazid to damage Islam
Allah. And
he enjoy his life? That was the way of Yazid. Mm. Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala couldn't do that. I wanted to talk about the actual battle of Karbala. Alhamdulillah, we've got our first guest in the studio. So, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, bhai, how are you?
I'm good.
What kalam have you got for us?
Inshallah, Azawajal, I would like to read Mato Panjatan Kagul.
Aye, one of my favorite. One of my favorite.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah. وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله کیا بات رضا اس چمنستان کرم کی زہرا ہے کلی جس میں حسن اور حسین پھول پڑھیے صلی اللہ علیہ یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیہ یا حبیب اللہ میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں غلام ابن غلام چیتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں مجھ عشق ہے تو خدا سے ہے مجھ عشق ہے تو رسول سے یہ کرم ہے سارا بطول کا میرے منہ سے آ
sada jo main naam lu tera jhoom ke main to panj tan ka ghulam ho main to panj tan ka kya baat raza us chamanistan karam ki zahra جس میں حسین اور حسن پھول میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں مجھے عشق سرو سمن سے ہے مجھے عشق سارے چمن سے ہے مجھے عشق ان کے وطن سے ہے مجھے عشق ان کی گلی سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو علی سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو حسن سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو حسین سے مجھے عشق شاہ زمن سے ہے میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا مجھ پہ نیازی کتنا کرم ہو گیا دنیا کہنے لگی پنجتن کا گدا اس گھرانے کا جب سے میں نوکر ہوا ارے سب سے اچھی میری نوکری ہو گئی میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں ہوا کیسے تن سے وہ سر جدا جہاں عشق ہے وہیں کربلا میری بات ہی کی بات ہے میرے سامنے وہی ذات ہے وہی جن کو شیر خدا کہیں جنہیں باب صلی علی کہیں وہی جن کو ذات علی کہیں وہی پختہ ہے میں تو خام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں فقیر خیر الانام ہوں میں فقیر خیر الانام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنج تن کا غلام ہوں
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Yasir Bhai, JazakAllah for your time. Especially, I know you were busy, and that was beautiful. It was worth all the wait, I think, MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala, aapko mazeed barakatein ata farmaye. Thank you very much for attending. Viewers of Madni Channel, coming back to what we were discussing. So Bilal Bhai, we were on, obviously, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a clear choice. He can sit back, he can stay at home, and he can just let Yazid carry on. But it's not really a choice, is it?
I mean, how could they? As we've like mentioned, the household that they belong from, the grandson of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
the son of Ali, he couldn't say, sit back and stay at home. He had to get up and say no. And this is something that they, as we say, it's nurtured from a very young age. The upbringing, it wasn't something that was taught. They were saying that, okay, hang on a minute, that this is not my teachings. And my teachings would say, my elders would say, that we have to stand up against this.
Hmm. See, a lot of people question, and a lot of people at the time said, you know, don't go. Stop here, wait here, let's see what happens. We will protect you, we will help you. But in really, if you want to analyze it properly, Bilal, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala had two choices. One was to stay quietly inside and say, Yazid, you do what you want with the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to protect myself. Mm. Now, he didn't have an army to march on Yazid and do anything. No. So he didn't have that option. Yazid wouldn't talk. I mean, you know, his governors were spread out through different lands, Iran, Iraq, everywhere, Syria. And they were very tyrants. So there wasn't that option available. So if one looks at it, what Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu did was the only thing he had.
The only option he had.
Because he couldn't accept this. So he thought, so where was this heading though? He knew that the end of this wasn't going to be good. He knew that Yazid, because he was so power hungry and so greedy, and his governors are going to kill Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam. He must have known that when he left Medina.
Yeah, he did. And then I think what happened, if you look at the Vakia, the call from Kufana on, I think, Ramadan, I think 10 to 14, the letters began pouring in from the people of Kufa. They were inviting Imam Hussein to lead them. And they gave that support, assuring all that support. So I think that's where it started from. Initially, yes, the decision was made that this is something that I cannot stand against. And then to lead up to that, then they had the letters from the people of Kufa showing the support to Imam Hussein.
So let me put that into context. That's a very good point you make there. So Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam is in Medina. He's worried about the situation. He knows that Yazid isn't a good leader. And he knows that Yazid wants Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam to legitimize his position by accepting. And Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam doesn't. But now Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam gets letters from Kufa, Iraq.
Iraq, yes.
Right? And how many letters did he get?
I mean, if I correct me if I'm wrong, there were like multiple letters. I can't remember the
I think
the
one of the revised says three sackfuls. They arrive over time and eventually they manage, there's enough letters. So thousands of people write to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the context of those letters, that if you don't help us, who will?
Mm. Okay. So I think at this point, Imam Hussein, you know, on one side he's getting told by, you know, the Sahaba around him that, you know, don't go. It's not safe. It's dangerous. But on the other side, he's getting these letters from Kufa, and you just try to imagine what's going on in the blessed mind of Imam Hussein. You know, like as much as he wants to respect the word of these Sahaba that are telling him, you know, it's not safe. Don't go. But he feels duty bound by these letters. You know, he has to do something. Being the grandson of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has to go and he has to help them out.
And the letters were quite explicit. It was saying, if you do not come, we will grab hold of you on the day of judgment and say, we wanted somebody to lead us, somebody pious to lead us, and yet nobody stood up.
I see. I think that was quite an easy choice then after that. That, hang on a minute, if these are the letters, these are the context of the letters, thousands of letters, and then I don't want to be held accountable. This is something that, you know, my grandfather never taught me. So let's see what we can do. I think in response to that, I think Imam Hussein sent his cousin Muslim Ibn Akil.
But in that time, sorry to interrupt you, Bilal Bhai, but I'm just wondering when you were talking there. You know, today if you read 1,000, if you receive 1,000 letters or 1,000 messages, or it's not.
It overpowers you.
At that time, when every letter must have come through messengers. So you've somebody's travelled two countries to get to you in Medina to bring you letters, and not hundreds of letters, but thousands of letters saying, you come and help us. We want to swear an oath of allegiance on your hand because we believe that Yazid will corrupt the deen. And if you do not come, we will say to Allah on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, we asked Hussein to come. So Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, despite people telling him not to go, decides to go because, as we were discussing just before, he had no choice. He had to save. He couldn't accept, acquiesce. He couldn't just say, well, okay, I'll sit back and let Yazid do what he's done. He had to do whatever he could. And what could he do but sacrifice himself? So he sacrifices himself. He goes to the plains of Karbala. Now, on the other front, what would the Yazidi army, what were they kind of battling for? When they see the grandson of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they read namaz behind him, but then they're going to martyr him. What's all that about?
The mindset for them, even till the, I think, the last moment, that we want them on our side. I think that was the mindset that they wanted to continue. But before, obviously, Imam Hussein went to, obviously, Kufa in Iraq, you know, they did send Muslim bin Aqil to see the support. And mashallah, when he went, he gave the, you know, he confirmed, it was affirmative, that mashallah, there's overwhelming support here.
I think 17,000 people accepted his oath of allegiance. Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil, who's the brother or cousin of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala, and he sends a letter back saying, okay, there's thousands of people, this is just the first few hours, who are want to swear an oath of allegiance to you. Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala comes. But then Yazid sends some very tyrant commanders.
And then obviously, if you look at the Vakia, there were many days that they went through hardship. Yazid, mazallah, he tried everything to break them. Whether it be cutting off their food supplies, whether it be cutting off their water supplies. He was on a mission. He wanted Imam Hussein to be on his side.
So just to put into that into context again, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam travels from Madinatu Munawwara to Kufa, which is just, so to Karbala, which is just short of Kufa. And then at that point, Yazid sends his army and all his commanders. Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam is 72 people in their caravan. There are women, children, and everything else, because he's not come to fight. He's come to kind of show that I'm not going to swear an oath of allegiance. This army comes and they say, swear an oath of allegiance or else. And he said, well, I can't swear an oath of allegiance, but let me go. I will travel back. Let me go into Kufa, whatever. And they said, no, you've got two options. Swear an oath of allegiance or come into battle with us. Now, what was the battle bit? Because how can you battle between 25,000 and 72, out of which they're mostly women and children? Was there a battle, or was it literally saying, if you do not swear an oath of allegiance to Yazid, we will murder you? So they go to the lowest of levels. Lowest of levels, thinking this will break Sayyidina Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But what does it do? It strengthens them even more.
Gives them courage.
So they then start to kill his children and his nephews and his nieces one by one. And he still says, I'm not swearing an oath of allegiance to Yazid. Because he will damage Islam. Allah. And then they kill him.
But then before the martyrdom, Harun Bhai, that one night. And that one night as... give me goosebumps. This is that night. And mashallah, we're here in a studio in Bradford discussing this. But if you look at the society, what are we up to? We use the Madani Channel. What is our family up to?
This was the night.
It gives you the goosebumps. Realistically, when you put it into perspective,
it makes you think. This was the night, 1400 and so many years ago, where, you know, the commanders came and Hazrat Hur was there as well. And Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala said to the Yazidi army, give me tonight. Don't start the battle now. And he said, why? You're just delaying for no reason. You're not going to accept the oath of allegiance, so we might as well fight. And he said, no, give me one more night, because I want to worship my Lord.
Allah.
I want to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, because we know that it's going to be my last night. But give me this night. Viewers of Madinah Channel, I ask you, when was the last time we spent a night in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal? When was the last time we dedicated anything? Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificed everything he had. His children, his nephews, everything he had, including his own life, on the plains of Karbala. Why did he do it? I've been asking that question to my panel, Bilal Bhai, Ubaid Bhai, all the way through. Why did he do it? He did it for me and you. He did it for our children. Because if he had allowed Yazid to damage Islam the way Yazid wanted to, we wouldn't have been sat here. We're only sat here because of this great sacrifice of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. So I ask you, if it comes for time for salah, read your namaz in the love of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. Read the Quran in the love of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam and his great sacrifice. Change your lives and stay away from sin for the love of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. And you know, on the day of judgment, if you do that in the love of Sayyidina Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala, you will be with that Husseini caravan. But on the flip side of that, if you carry on doing the acts that Yazid did and commit sin, don't expect to be in the Husseini caravan. You can only get into this caravan if you make sacrifices in this world. May Allah Azza wa Jal, we've come way over our time. Mission was to try and really get home that Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu anhu sacrificed his children and his life for us. We've tried to prove to you for the last 2 hours that he had no ulterior motive. You know, he was offered governorship, he was offered everything. Yazid would have given him everything. He would have to stay quiet, he could have had anything. But he said, no, if I stay quiet, what will happen to the ummah of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What will happen to the ummah of my Nana Jan? That's why Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam sacrificed even a 6-month-old Ali Asghar for me and you. So we pray namaz, we pray the Quran, and we act upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You ask yourself, are you loyal to that sacrifice? We need to change. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the blessings and barakats of this night. Amen. Stay up, pray nafil, read the Quran, make dua, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to raise the ranks of those who were martyred on the plains of Karbala and pray for a better life. Amen. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us all, and may Allah Azza wa Jal bless all our pious predecessors. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.